And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be looking at prophecy, and particularly the Bible's prophecies that in the last days, demonic spirits will communicate with human beings on a colossal scale. I am convinced, and I believe in coming weeks it will be proven, and I'll bring that news to you as I'm able to receive it right here on Power of Prophecy, that our new president, President Barack Obama, is indeed in communication with demonic spirits, as are some of the men a very high power around him. I believe he was chosen by spirits for his role, and that is true of many leaders of nations on this planet. I think it's important for us then to discover the awful truth about what I call the arcane or mysterious, unknown, strange, the arcane brotherhood of devils and men. Now you say, well, I think there's only one devil text. No, the Bible says there are many devils, but there's only one devil with a capital D named Satan or Lucifer. But there are many devils. We sometimes call them demons, but actually the Bible uses that very term, devils. There are devils under the mastership, the leadership of one supreme devil, the prince. And I believe he's the prince of this current age, which is, according to astrologers, the age of Aquarius, the new age that we have moved in. Now, some people today are just too intellectual and smart to believe in something like devils. They think that's bordering on the ridiculous. But, you know, I've taught at three universities, at the University of Texas in Austin, Texas, for 5 years. And I met a lot of people with holes in their head, professors teaching. So I don't give much credence to these kinds of men and women who are what I call know-nothings, who reject the truth, and yet they believe in the most asinine, insane, and stupid things. It was the Apostle Paul who said in the last days, men will be ever learning but never able to come to the truth. And he warned against intellectualism, so-called, as he put it, so-called. Now, I'm going to take you to some people today that apparently believe in the spirits, and even throughout history, some of the most powerful men and some women in the world who have actually become the makers and the molders of human history have been guided by devils. You may say, I don't believe it. Well, I don't care what you believe. Well, that's not true. I do. But ultimately, it doesn't matter what you believe. I do care because I want you to believe the truth. But if you reject it, what can I say? Here's what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians. He advised, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Friends, listen very carefully to me. Paul is not describing world fleshly rulers. He's not talking about the Chancellor of Germany or the King of Greece or the Queen of England or the President of the United States. He's talking about rulers of darkness. They have their own principalities. They have power. They have territories of which you and I do not even know, and I don't even care to know. But I know this. We wrestle against them. We're fighting against them. And when we see evil men and women, whether they're murderers, thugs, rapists, or leaders of the most powerful nations on earth. After all, they're the mass killers of society. They're the psychopaths. They're worse than the Ted Bundys and the Jeffrey Dahmers. They have the ability to send to their death thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of young men and women. And maybe some older age people too, because the death of war can be visited upon even the cities, towns, and villages of America and affect us all. So there are powers that you don't know about, but they're warring against you and me. They're warring against the goodness of people. They're warring against Jesus Christ. That's, of course, a battle that they're going to lose. And, you know, that's that's their destiny. But we need to know that there is spiritual wickedness in high places. And Paul said that Satan himself is prince of the power of the air. You may not see him. He may not be visible. His demon spirits may on occasion come and visit us in some kind of a ghastly form, but not always. But there are people today who relish meeting and communicating with the spirits and believe that they are growing wise by instruction from devils. I'm going to give you some examples of that. But I want you to know something. These spirits are real. How do I know that? Well, first of all, Jesus himself said so. And look what his word says in the Gospel of Matthew. Read chapter 4, chapter 8, chapter 10. In Luke, read chapter 9. In Mark, chapter 1. Here, for example, in Matthew 8:16, it is recorded that when the even, that's the evening, was come, they brought unto him, now this is Jesus, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Jesus was not a waster of his time. He only had 33 brief years on this planet, and he accomplished everything that he set out to do. Nothing was left undone. And on the cross, he told his Father, "It is finished." You know, if you're a supervisor, you're a manager, that's the kind of person you want to work for you. It's finished. It's done. Nothing is left untied. Of course, he was greater than just a worker. He was the master. In Matthew 10, verse 1, Jesus even gave his disciples power to cast out evil spirits. And Jesus also tells us that those who are his disciples, until he returns again, that we shall have the power to cast out spirits. I've been confronted with these spirits before. I have experienced what would otherwise be a frightening situation in which people possessed with devils even challenged and confronted me. But God gives us the power to cast out spirits. And I've also been quite interested in things that have happened to me as I've gone across the United States and other nations preaching the gospel. Because I have met people who, when I looked in their eyes, I could tell they were demon-possessed. But no one else seemed to be able to divine or to discern this. I remember they had invited me to a major Christian television network, and they have what they call the green room where people, you know, the guests wait, and sometimes they have little refreshments there and things like that. You're waiting to go on air. They sort of prepare you and all that. And the other guests are in there too, so it's nice. Sometimes you meet other people, and some of them, I remember meeting this one woman. She had one of the largest ministries in the world. She was on Christian television all the time. I didn't know much about the lady or her ministry exactly, except that it existed and it was huge. And she had tens of thousands of people that no doubt donated money to her ministry and work. And as I came forward into the room, she got up from the couch, one of the couches there, and she came up and put her hand out to shake my hand. She had a nice smile on her face. And the instant I reached out and touched her hand, I looked at her face, and she was absolutely frightened. She was so scared. She began to shake just a little bit and stutter, and she almost could not make the program. And it was a pretty bad night for her. She almost embarrassed herself by forgetting words and things and just totally incompetent on stage with perhaps, you know, 10 million people watching. I came home from that broadcast back to Austin, Texas, and wanted to ask how it went. And I told her, and I said, "Do you know this person? By the way, the lady's dead now." I said, "Do you know her?" Wanda said, "Yeah, I've seen her on TV." I said, "She's possessed by devils." Wanda said, "How do you know?" And I told her. You know, it wasn't long after that somebody sent me some information, and it turned out to be true, but it never got out to the major audiences. They never knew about it. That woman was at that moment in an adulterous affair. She was in an adulterous affair, but was going out claiming to be ordained by God to preach the gospel. And in fact, she had divorced her first two husbands, married to a third, and was having an affair with a fourth person. But I didn't know any of that at the time. I only knew she was possessed by devils. But she was a charismatic personality that was able to draw a large audience. Reminds me of the woman, the fortune teller, you might call him psychic today, that the apostles came upon, and she saw the apostles, and she began to cry out. Something in her made her cry out, and she said, "Listen to these men, they come from God." And she followed them around the city. "Listen to these men. They come from God. They speak for God." Well, what she said was true. But they knew what she was trying to do. Evidently, she was trying to latch on to them, because they had magic that she wanted. So she was going around, "Yeah, listen to these people. They're of God," thinking that maybe she could get some of the followers, some of the support. And they saw what she was. They turned her around and they commanded the devils to leave that woman. And you know what? The merchants who had backed her, who were her promoters and managers, were angry because they had lost their money. She was a moneymaker for them. Some of these psychics are moneymakers. And you order the demons out of them, they don't have any power anymore. Now, I want to talk to you about the conspiratorial link, the satanic impulse that these demon beings bring. Some people have visions. Other people have dreams. And I'm not talking about Christian dreams. I'm talking about demonic. But they don't necessarily know that it's demonic. And some people have just impressions, and they're obsessed, and they have a compulsive nature to go do certain things. And it's because demons are in them. This conspiratorial impulse of the elite of the New World Order, I'm convinced, is some kind of a throbbing vibration or heartbeat that universally grips the minds and souls of these New Age occult Illuminist believers. This is the very spirit of Antichrist. It is the philosophy of devils who bring a doctrine to the Illuminati. The Illuminati have a doctrine. They have a religion. Don't think for a minute that they're atheists. And listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times, when? In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I was once invited to go down to speak to a huge group of pastors and lay leaders down in Florida. But my reputation preceded my arrival. And one of the sponsors called me up and said, we've just found out that you're the guy that goes around exposing some of the teachers, the top teachers and leaders in America, Oral Roberts, and you've exposed Kenneth Copeland and the others. But many of the pastors coming to this meeting are strong believers in the Word of Faith movement, the prosperity gospel, and the feel-good, positive thinking stuff. And you know, so it's going to really upset them if you talk about those things. And now we've invited you, but we want assurances from you that you won't speak on that topic, those topics. I said, well, sir, and I was very kind to the man. He was like the chairman of the board, and they had allowed the program guy to invite me, but now suddenly the board finds out who Tex Mars is. They were frightened, and so that's why he had called me up on the phone. We had a nice conversation, about 2 hours, I believe. But it ended this way. I said, you know, kind sir, God has already given me a message to speak there. But if you don't want me to come, then I don't go where I'm not invited. But God has already given me a message. He said, may I please ask what that message is? I said, yes. He's going to ask me to speak on the subject of 1 Timothy, the doctrines of devils. Oh, my goodness. I said, yes, in fact, the title for your little brochure that you're going to send around the nation, all these people, to advertise your group meeting, is Seducing Spirits and Doctrines of Devils. He said, oh, my goodness. Is there anything else you can speak about? I said, I told him I only speak about what God tells me to do. He said, oh, my, we cannot have you come. We cannot have that. Oh, that would cause such controversy. Oh, I said, well, it would cause controversy for me to preach the gospel word here that says that there are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Does that bother you? Do you not believe the Apostle Paul and what the Bible says? He says, oh, yes, I do believe that, but he had a lot of buts. Well, I didn't know at the time. There was a lot of argument over my invitation. Now, this was a huge church in Lakeland, Florida that was sponsoring this. I think they had like 5,000 members at the time. Huge church. And they consulted with the pastor and the other board members and I suppose with Oral Roberts' organization. Well, it already got out to the church that Tex Mars was going to come, and of course, there were many hundreds of people that said, I want him to come. And then there were many others, most of the majority probably, who said, no, he should not come. So they were having a big Donnybrook over it, a fight over it. I didn't even know this was going on until I got there and some people came up and said, boy, there's opposition to you being here. I said, well, I know that. They said, yeah, but there was also a huge group that said they were going to leave the church if they disinvited you. I said, well, I didn't know that. They said, yeah, that's the only reason you're here. They didn't want to have a big church split. And I turned to one and I said, you know, a man's invited to come to speak to a group of pastors, some 700 pastors and ministry leaders from across America. And all he does is say, I mean, he's going to speak about a verse in the New Testament warning about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, which, by the way, the Apostle Paul said the Holy Spirit speaks about these things expressly. I can't even repeat what the Holy Spirit told Paul that's found in the Bible without a church splitting. What's that all about? Well, I knew what it was about. And when I got there, they were like walking on eggshells, and they were frightened to death, and I was just my old normal self. And, you know, I spoke, I think, two or three times there. And, yeah, they never invited me again, but, and sometimes I'll tell you later on what happened there, and it was all quite interesting, and they were very kind to me and all of that. And I think the only real problem occurred when one of the top other teachers got up and bragged about his audience with the Pope. And what the Pope was a great Christian leader, one of the world's greatest, and he had been so inspired, and it was the greatest moment of his life when he met the Pope. And I told a friend, well, it was one of the greatest moments of my life when I met three devils, too. But I don't think they fared so well, because they were cast out. And, you know, I felt like asking that man, actually, I probably went further than I should, one of the speakers there, when he met the Pope, did he cast the devils out of the Pope? But I, you know, God didn't tell me that. But I did discuss his little situation there with the Pope, and I think people were shocked. People were just shocked. And a young man of about 21 years of age came up to me afterwards, said he'd been called into ministry by God, but he was a Roman Catholic. He said, I was shocked what you said about the Pope. That other preacher got up there and said the Pope's the greatest world religious leader. But you got up there and you said that's not so, and you gave reasons for it. I don't know what to do now. So I said, well, what is Jesus Christ telling you to do? He said, I believe everything you said, Mr. Morris. And I was raised as a Roman Catholic, but the Holy Spirit inside me is telling me what you said is true. I said, well, don't believe me, Tex Mars. Believe what the Holy Spirit said to you. And speak to him some more. Talk to God over the next few weeks and see what God says to you. And then go and do it, regardless of what I or the other teacher said. And that man wrote me a letter. He said, both my mother and I left the Roman Catholic Church. We believe wholly, and we're depending only on Jesus Christ. And I'm going forward in my ministry. I don't know what happened to that man now. That's been 15 years or so ago. But I suspect that he's doing real well in his walk with Jesus. Now, David Spangler, one of the top New Age leaders, and I've discussed this in my book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, said that there is an impulse that is going about like a magical energy force throughout the universe. And it's contacting some men and not others. John Randolph Price of the Planetary Commission, a top New Age Illuminist organization, says this in one of his books. He says, through the silent hidden work of the masters, that's the spirit guides from beyond, men and women throughout the world are beginning to intuitively understand the truth, and it is only a matter of time before the dawning of the New Age, that is, the New World Order. Who are these beings that are bringing this impulse, this vibrational spirit? Price says, I prefer to think of them as angels of light, whether from earth or other worlds. He said, they search, select, and guide those men and women who may be suitable subjects. They instruct or plant the seed of a new concept, and the word is spread, taking hold and growing in the minds of others until there is a wave of collective thinking sufficiently powerful to change events and shape the future. We are the change we seek, said Barack Obama. A collective impulse. How is that possible? Well, Willis Harmon, professor at Stanford University, one of the founders of the Association for Humanistic Psychology, says this. He says, mind exists in coextensive unity with the world. And this, there is, he said, a global mind or spirit or impulse, a global spirit. And this global mind has a plan for mankind. How do we know this? Dr. Harmon said, there is impressive testimony in a vast literature on mysticism and religious experience. Many in the New Age movement, of course, have been communicating with these devil spirits for many years. One that became very famous and many books were sold that were said to be the writings and the thoughts of this spirit, this devil from beyond. His name was Lazarus of all things. Not the Lazarus, the man who was brought back from the dead by Jesus, but another Lazarus. Although he probably claimed to be the same Lazarus. In one of the writings of this so-called Lazarus, the demon spirit who wrote through this New Age teacher, here's what the devil said, this devil. He said, we, that is the spirits, want to talk to you of love. We want to blend with you. We want to blend our energy with yours so that you and we can touch each other, so we can work together. Sort of reminds me of the old 2020 saying. They still have it, actually. Hugh Downs, who was a hater of Christianity, he's retired now, and John Stossel and a lady have taken over that program. You may watch it sometime on TV, the news program 2020. We're in touch, so you be in touch. That's what Lazarus says. We're in touch, so you be in touch. So there are these, this power then, this seductive power in another realm that can touch its vibrations, its energy, seeks out human beings who are suitable subjects. You know, sometimes these spirits have other names than Lazarus. And I know of spirits that actually go about disguised as Jesus Christ. Yes, can you imagine a spirit comes to you and he says, I am Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us the remedy for that. Because we ask them, tell us about yourself, Jesus. Is Jesus the Son of God? Did Jesus come in the flesh as Emmanuel, God with us? I know what their answer will be. No, no. No, I'm not really the Son of God. No, well, if I am the Son of God, no, I did not come in the flesh as God, Emmanuel. We can know the real Jesus. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us, because in just a moment or so, we're going to be talking after the break. I'm going to be telling you about the world leaders of human history and today who are into the spirit world and are being led by devils and what it might mean for you and me. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. It's exploding across the seven continents, an architectural colossus. And it's the subject of one of my newest video documentaries, 60 minutes in length, available either in DVD or VHS. Please specify which you would like. It examines these mysterious monuments and buildings of the Illuminati that now enshroud the world with magic and seduction. Today on this program, we're talking about the Arcane Brotherhood of angels and the Illuminati, but I'm discussing with you dark angels. And these are the angels who are advising builders and architects and the members of the secret societies and of the Illuminati and convincing them, persuading them to build this incredible architectural colossus across the world. And this seems to be the chief weapon in the Illuminati's armory for the seduction and control of humanity. Because these buildings, these monuments, these statues, these idols are rising in America, in every city and around the world, and they're imbued with occult power and spiritual energy. In and of themselves, they are nothing. They are just matter. They are stone. They are rock. They're glass. They're steel. They're wood. They're tile. They're carpet. But Paul says in the Bible, these are like idols, and behind them are devils. And because of this, the symbology of this curious talismanic architecture works to promote a mysterious grand design that is calculated, now listen to this, to end in the domination of planet Earth by an elite cadre of superior Illuminati beings. And so a strange force, an impulse, is compelling these visionary builders and architects to complete what they understand as the great work of the Illuminati, which is the fulfillment and the culmination of Satan's plan to totally dominate and conquer mankind and destroy and wipe off the face of the earth every vestige of Christianity. And they intend to build an occult paradise. And friends, you don't want to be around when the ribbon cutting ceremony is held for that paradise. You need this video, Architectural Colossus. You can get it by calling us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or going to powerofprophecy.com online. Right there on our homepage, you'll see it. Architectural Colossus, the only video of its kind ever produced. The full story of this incredible gargantuan project. You'll be amazed. $25. Please add $4 shipping and handling. $29 for this new video, Architectural Colossus. And it goes right along with my book, Mysterious Monuments. But you'll see stuff in this video that were not in the book. And not only that, it's in blazing color. Architectural Colossus. $29 postpaid. You can send a check to, or money order, or cash to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. Call us toll-free during the work week, 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the devils who are in charge of this architectural colossus has been built, and who are building a new world order kingdom, and I believe Barack Obama is part of it. But so was George W. Bush. It's not a partisan issue. Is the devil a Democrat or Republican? Well, some believe so, but I beg to differ with you. And neither is Jesus a Democrat or Republican, by the way. Milo Duquette, in his book, Turning the Hiram Key, Milo Duquette is a Mason, Freemason, and an occultist. He admits, he says, there are actually worker crews, worker demons, like bees of a hive. And through magic and ritual and words of power, the Mason, the Freemason, can conjure up and put these worker crews of demons to work. Worker devils, worker crews. You have the power to control these roughneck devils. Put them to work for you. You can be their foreman. Jeffrey Hodson, who actually wrote a book entitled The Brotherhood of Angels and Men, says that these spirit beings these spirits are causing this architectural colossus, and he said they are Greece in reincarnate. They're building the beautiful classical antiquities of Greece again. Greece, Rome, Egypt, Babylon seems to be the font of the knowledge and wisdom of these spirit beings. But I told you before the break about those who come disguised as Jesus. As Jesus. A wonderful Christian man, German evangelist Kurt Koch, K-O-C-H. And by the way, we have his book, and my goodness, one of the best books ever written exposing the occult. This man, Kurt Koch, lived to the ripe old age. I think he was near 90 years of age when he died. But I understood that he had thousands of case histories of demonic possession. Thousands. And he writes about many of them in his book, Occult ABC. And we have that book. You can phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, or go to powerofprophecy.com and order the book, Occult ABC by Kurt Koch. And he talked in one case about a woman. She was deep into the Hindu religion, and she actually contacted a spirit who said it was Jesus, pretended to be Jesus. And the woman, the spirit promised her he would give her occult powers, and he did. That was his gift to her. But then she was frightened. She knew that he was controlling her and not the other way around. And she sought to free herself only to find that the demonic force laughed at her gleefully and refused to yield. Then she knew she was in trouble. Christian friends, though, came to her rescue. She sought them out and she begged them to help her. They were proud to do so, and they counseled her and they prayed with her. And they cast out the devil. And she turned to the real Jesus for deliverance. In fact, the lady wrote a book, From Yoga to Christ. From Yoga to Christ. Koch, in his book, says that many times demons claim to be Jesus. But if you command them in the name of Jesus Christ to reveal themselves, they are forced to utter, I am the unholy Jesus, or I am the Jesus of Satan. I am the Jesus of Satan. When commanded in the name of Jesus to reveal who they are, they're forced to reveal these things. Now, friends, here is my advice for you. Never, never, never attempt to communicate in any kind of unholy way through meditation, like the New Age does it, through spirit guides, spirit channeling, crystal powers, pyramid powers, any other unholy force, never seek Jesus. And listen to me, never beckon or call on Jesus by visualizing him in your mind. You do not have the ability to make Jesus be like a little genie from a bottle and to come and appear whenever you want him to come. You can't say, God, appear right in front of my face here. You can't visualize him and make him come. He's not your little boy. He's not going to come at your beck and call. We're talking about God, the majestic one who sits on the throne, and it would behoove you, my dear friend, to call on his name and to appeal and beg to him as the mighty Lord and Savior of all to please help you. One time I was in the largest occult bookstore in the world. And I made a terrible mistake. I would go there and I would research and I would get various books written by the top occultists and Satanists in the world and study them so I could expose these devices of the devil. But I always prayed and asked Jesus to protect me before I went in those places. This day I was in a hurry. Oh, yes. I was in such a hurry and I pulled into a parking place right in front of this largest New Age occult bookstore in the world. And I ran in because there was this particular magazine and a book that I wanted to get. I'd heard of for my research. I didn't stop even a moment to pray. I didn't ask Jesus to put a shield of protection around me. Oh, in my arrogance, I'd been there so many times before and I'd confronted evil on every front. No problem. Just going in, get the products and leave. And no sooner had I gone into this place and walked into this one room, the gigantic store, and they had incense going and Hindu New Age chanting music over the loudspeaker system. And my head began to swoon. And then I felt this great pressure, devils attempting to enter me. Oh. You say they can't enter you. I can only tell you what was attempting to be done to me. Tex Mars. Can you imagine the success if those demons had entered me, the man who was instrumental in exposing the New Age movement around the world with books like Dark Secrets of the New Age, Mystery Mark of the New Age, Ravaged by the New Age Cults and Religions. And I knew instantly my supreme mistake. And I felt a pressure on my forehead as if something was attempting to enter me. I stopped right where I was. I didn't care who was around me. I stopped. I lowered my head. And I just said three words. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not communicating and praying with you before I entered this evil, foul place. And you know what? Suddenly everything changed. The oppression lifted from me. The music meant nothing to me. The Hindu chanting and the incense smell and all the other things and all of those around me who I knew were filled with devils. I got what I wanted. I paid up the store and I left. And I actually felt just fine. I had met the devil. But unfortunately for him, he met Jesus Christ in my heart. Now, let's talk some more about this problem with the Illuminati and its brotherhood with the dark angels. One of the most famous DuPonts of all was DuPont Nemours. Now, the DuPont family is one of the richest on planet Earth. And in my book, Mysterious Monuments, I have a chapter entitled, Where the Rich and Famous Dwell. And I talk about the subject I'm going to tell you about right now. You see, Mr. DuPont wrote a book. He published it. It was entitled Philosophy of the Universe. DuPont admitted his adoration of planetary intelligences. Notice this. Intelligences. This is the name he gave for the spirits. They are intelligences. Planetary intelligences. And more than that, he called them optimates. They're mates. And he combined that with the word optimum. They're the best of mates. Optimates. And he said, if a man seeks spiritual mastery, if he wishes to become one of the illumined, the Illuminati, he can only do so by contacting this great chain. Yes, there's a chain of immortal spirits whom he called optimates. And anyone who is truly a member of the Illuminati can have communications with these spirits. he said. Now, according to DuPont, the philosophy of the universe is the philosophy of these optimates, these spirits. And what is this philosophy? What then is the doctrine of devils? DuPont said that it is an entire body of doctrines which sets forth an Egyptian, Babylonian, and Greek religion. These are the gods, the eons, or the Elohims of antiquity, which the New World Order elite must listen to, communicate with, receive instruction from, and go forward hand in hand into the brave new world. Egyptian, Babylonian, and Greek gods are Elohims. Through his communication with these Illuminati, Elohims, these optimates, these planetary intelligences, he and his family became superbly rich. Commodore Vanderbilt also contacted these optimates, these spirit intelligences. In the book Fortune's Children, a biography of the Vanderbilt family, Vanderbilt frankly admitted to his associates and friends that never once did he make a business decision until he first consulted with the spirits. How did he do it? Well, not only did he have his wife, he had a mistress, a younger woman, and she was into spirit seances. And through these seances, he would ask the spirits for information. By the way, he was a scrupulous crook who deceived many men, who was a greedster on Wall Street and defrauded people of their money. And he became super rich. And he worshiped these ancient gods and goddesses. And in all of the furniture and the paintings and the decorations and architecture of the Vanderbilt estates and homes, you would see paintings of the ancient gods and goddesses. Prince Charles over in England today, the book The Gladiator that we offer through the ministry here, notes that Prince Charles believes in the paranormal. And when he went to Africa, he talked about the great messages that he received from African tribal spirits. Prince Charles. Down in Florida today, there is a charismatic evangelist. Oh, it's the big new move of God down in Florida. A man named Todd Bentley. He has tattoos, devilish tattoos all over his body, but he says that God told him to get those tattoos. And he's a faith healer, and hundreds of thousands of Assembly of God and Pentecostals and even some Baptists are talking about the wondrous ministry of this man of God. He wears blue jeans and filthy looking t-shirts with horrible messages on them. And he screams and he hollers and he kicks people. He kicked one woman by his own admission in the head and said, God told me to kick you in the head. He screams profanities and the people go gaga, speaking in tongues and babbling. And he's known throughout the nations among the Pentecostal Assemblies of God as one of the greatest evangelists of all time. Todd Bentley. How does he accomplish these so-called miracles that he performs? Well, he said he communicates with a spirit named Aunt Emma. Aunt Emma. It just happens that in Africa, many of the tribal witch doctors there regularly, they say, communicate with a spirit. They call her Emma O. Emma O. Some of them just call her our auntie. Our auntie. Is it the same? Perhaps. Friends, many people today contact spirit channelers and watch TV and watch all these programs, this John Edwards and all these trashy people that come on and supposedly you ask them questions of what does my dead uncle or aunt or father or grandfather, what does he want me to know or what is he doing today in the other realm, and these channelers or psychics supposedly answer the questions. What about those things? Those are devils, if they're anything at all, if they're not the made-up imagination of the so-called channeler or psychic. Why don't you read the Bible sometime, friends? You'll discover that King Saul of ancient Israel sought a spirit. And it seemed like a good thing. You see, the prophet Samuel had died and gone on to be with the Lord. But King Saul was disturbed and wanted to know, would his armies win the battle that was planned for the next day against the Philistines? And so, even though God had told him, never communicate with the spirits, I am the Lord thy God, he decided, you know, I need to go speak with the spirit of Samuel, the prophet. He can advise me on whether we're to win this battle tomorrow, this great battle against the Philistines. And so there was a noted witch, the witch of Endor, a witch, and he went to her, and he disguised himself so she wouldn't know that he was the king. And he went in with his assistants, and they sat down, and the witch called up the spirit of Samuel. But there was a major problem that erupted. As it turned out, it was the real spirit of Samuel. And this witch had called up many from the dead to communicate and to talk with the living through her. But never before had she called up anybody real. It was always devils speaking. But this time, for some reason, God had allowed the real Samuel to come forth from the other side. And the witch knew it was not her devil that always impersonated someone, her little spirit guy. She knew this was a being sent by God in their very presence. And she was frightened and startled. And she screamed in terror and said to the king, I know who you are. You're the king. You've come here in deception. She was frightened. But wait, you say, well, I thought you said, text, that we can't communicate with the spirits. Oh, there are holy exceptions. Listen to this one. Samuel said, this Samuel called up, supposedly from the dead. But listen, my friends, God is God of the living and not the dead. Samuel was alive. He just wasn't in our place. But suddenly he was. And what did he say? Read it for yourself in the book of Kings. Samuel said, you have done a horrible thing. And I'm paraphrasing him here. You've done a horrible thing. You've done a terrible thing. God commanded you not to speak to the spirits of the dead, but instead to speak only to him. And you disobeyed the express orders of God. Now let me tell you what your fate is. Indeed, tomorrow you will be defeated by the Philistines, and they will attempt to take you captive, and you will die. You're a dead man, a walking dead man. That was his punishment. I don't want to leave you in suspense, friends, if you haven't read it. The next day, his army in a slaughter, a collapse, and King Saul, before he would be taken and tortured, he fell on his spear and killed himself, committed suicide. The Philistines cut off his head. They put it on a silver platter. And they took it in and offered it up as a sacrifice. The head of King Saul, they offered it up as a sacrifice to their great fish god, the beast who rose up out of the sea, Dagon, the fish god. Let me tell you something, friends. You communicate with spirits of the dead like these New World Order elite, and you'll end up with your head, figuratively speaking, on a silver platter, offered up to the devil god, Dagon. Now, let's talk some more about this. Napoleon sought the spirits at seances, history tells us. Hitler attempted to communicate with the spirits. And he told his associates, last night one came to me as I was sleeping, and he was terrible, and he frightened me. He frightened Hitler. Hillary Clinton. We know now, and I've discussed this on this program, she and her New Age guru, Dr. Jean Houston, a woman, New Ager, would go up on the rooftop with friends on the rooftop of the White House and communicate with the cosmological deities and the spirits. Saddam Hussein, it is said, although there's so much propaganda related to Saddam Hussein said that he was the very reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. Abraham Lincoln's wife had seances at the White House. French President Mitterrand, the one who built the Great Pyramid, the Glass Pyramid in front of the Louvre Museum in Paris, according to the Le Monde newspaper, the largest newspaper in Paris, France, once each year, the President of France, one of the world's largest countries, most powerful, would go up to the top of a sacred mountain in the Pyrenees and beat drums and sit lotus-legged on the ground and communicate with the earth spirits that were conjured up. The President of France. C.W. Ledbetter, 33rd degree, and I talk about this on page 261 of my book, Mysterious Monuments. C.W. Ledbetter, 33rd degree Mason, said, in the highest levels, the highest rituals of Freemasonry, spirits appear to the audience. Spirits appear. Oh, now you get it. He says the ritual for the 33rd degree, which includes the practice of drinking of wine from a human skull, the spiritual king of the world himself appears. Who do you think that might be? Liz Carpenter, she was the press secretary for Lady Bird Johnson in the White House, and she became one of the most powerful women politicians in the state of Texas. Once, at least each month, during the full moon, she and her other Democratic liberal girl pals would go out to the hill country and arrange themselves in a witch's circle, and they would howl at the moon. Howl at the moon! The press secretary for a former first lady. The witches call this drawing down the moon, bringing in, invoking the spirits. Now, friends, I could give you so many more cases of powerful, rich, famous people communicating with the spirit world. I believe it's happening today. I believe it's happening in the White House. It's always happened in the White House, except for a few presidents who were Christians. It happens in the Kremlin to this very day. No doubt Putin talks to the spirits. Now I want to end with this note. What does the Bible say about these things? Here's the advice of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He implored us that we would cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the advice of Paul. I couldn't do any better than that. The elite have their spirits, but we have the Holy Spirit. They have their great master, the spiritual king of the world, Mr. Ledbetter called him. But we have the true king of the universe. His name, Jesus Christ. Follow him and you will never fail. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Please tune in each week and discover the power.